So upstairs, you hear something go, ah! Smack!
I look.
Did one of you say something? Oh, there you are. You have a very fascinating library. Where did you get this book?
He looks at you, Charlie, and he says, he looks like he's going to say something else, and he says, yes, we do have a rather fascinating collection. Actually, could you look at this one for a moment? He says, and he hands you the big tome.
Oh, certainly. What is it? I look at the book, and then I read it.
It's very interesting. Just flip through some of these pages. It's a little difficult to actually understand the symbols, but if you could just go through all of the pages here. Wonderful. So the rest of you, let's see, where is everyone? Because the rest of you are in the reading room, I think.
I'm over by the Nook window still, I assume.
Yeah, so you heard a brief scream.
I'm definitely with Amanda as we are telling the veteran that...
Yeah, so you three are in the reading room. What would you like to do?
Is your gun in your car?
My gun is in my car.
I'm going to get your gun now.
All right, go get my gun, too.
I guess I suppose I'm running behind you with the fucking typewriter.
So are you going to... You can hear that Petey and William are talking in the main room. Are you going to go out through the main room?
Is there another way out of this reading room?
I think we're just going to calmly walk out, be like, we missed something, and then we'll come back, and then we'll break up this kidnapping ring.
We need to go get our funds. Trying to get my gun, I am deeply concerned.
All right, so the three of you start slowly walking out. William looks up at you and says, "Oh, you're there. You are. yes, you can look at other things. That's fine. I have the records that you were looking for right here. If you'd like to take a look."
Oh, we're missing something right now. I'll be right back.
Okay, can I? Let me take the car and we'll verify.
Let me just get my typewriter away. Hefting the typewriter.
Yes.
You are currently looking at a short king struggling to carry this
short
heavy
king.
Typewriter.
Are you trying to invoke pity in this man, or?
To a certain degree, yes.
He says, yes. Sorry, we can't take, we could take the book out to your car. Yes.
All right, come on, bring it out. Come on.
All right. He takes the book out of your hands and says, "That's great.
Hey, I was reading that.
I see you have the Lesser Key of Solomon there. That's wonderful. I will talk with you about that in 10 minutes." And he takes the book and he walks out with the other three.
What a strange person.
Can
everybody
take the book if someone's actively
this
reading
is getting
it?
More and
wanted,
more
right?
Alarming.
Can everybody make either a psychology or spot hidden check, whichever is better for you?
Like everybody in their party, or
everyone, I mean students.
Students?
No.
Everyone!
You made it.
Okay.
You notice that...
One sec, I still have to roll.
I failed.
Oh, baby! Shit. Yeah! That was a spot hidden,
those
by
of
the
you
way.
Who, those of you who succeed notice that William... kicks Peter in the shin as you guys walk out and gives him a look. Peter kind of rolls his eyes and it looks like he's getting up and he's going to do something, maybe.
Going to do something.
You know what? This is getting too confusing. For now, I'm Willy Whittlebone.
Okay.
Thank you. It's really bad in my notes.
Even better. Even better. Willy Whittlebone.
This is my fault.
It's not really anyone's fault. I'm surprised that we haven't gotten to the part where we get confused between Charlie and Charles.
Yeah, right?
Critter's character's named Charles.
You could address me by my character name instead. It's okay.
So we are in the main room, correct?
Yes, we're currently all in the main room, and you are heading outside with William.
Who all is with us?
Just the students, and I think Petey is going to be waiting in the main room, ?
Okay, hold on.
I sort of trailed after him. I'll wait inside.
Okay.
Hold on. Is William the one coming out to the car with us?
William is coming out to the car with you, but he...
And he's carrying that book.
Yes.
Okay. Did we see... Okay, what I need to know is, in the main room, did we see, Raymond, Man with gun.
Robert. You have not seen this person.
Okay, he did not come up to the main room at all. Okay.
No.
Just double checking that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose then I'm accompanying. Oh Jesus, I'm fucking failing here because
you and the other
Hulk
students
Hogan.
Are walking outside.
Yeah, I'm accompanying Amanda out to my car with my typewriter.
So Charles, Amanda, and Willie, Whittlebone, all walk outside to the car with William. And when you get outside, that young lady who was painting is already outside standing by your vehicles. And you're not sure how she got out here that quickly. Because she was there.
She's sabotaging our car so we can't escape. This is what she's doing.
You were looking at her about 2 minutes ago. Maybe 1 minute ago. And
Amanda,
William says,
"Is in the trap.
Oh, Annabelle, hello. I see you're here. Please don't make a nuisance of yourself," he says. So anyways, he's opening the book and he's flipping through the pages and talking with you, Kyle, and he's trying to get you to look at it.
Yeah, we need to... Amanda, can you open up your trunk? I got something in there as well.
Yes, why don't you... William, why don't
we
you
both start
here?
Synchronously opening the trunks of our cars?
I'm not a fast reader. I can't read while walking, but if you'll sit right down there while I open my trunk and I'll come around and look at these records. I open like the front door.
Alright, let's see. I need to make a fucking psychology roll for
I
him.
Accidentally dropped the type. Wait, hold
what
on.
If I
accidentally
did...
dropped the type.
I have the intention of reading the book, but also intention of holding him at gunpoint.
I accidentally dropped the typewriter on William's toe.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
I am interested in the book personally.
Let me make a roll
for
him.
I have
first.
A whoopsies and I drop a, 20-pound Remington typewriter on his toe.
Okay, you destroy your typewriter already.
Just wait till I get the dictionary.
I also have a dictionary.
He succeeds. Why don't you make a... Well, you know what? I guess you don't really have to roll anything to drop a typewriter on his foot. All right, you drop a typewriter on his foot. He stops because it's heavy and it hits his foot. He has absolutely no reaction. He does not wince. He does not make a sound. And he looks down at it and he says, "Oh, my foot."
Uh-oh. That's
are you all
good.
Right?
I'm okay. My shoes are rather thick. Could you get that off of my foot?
I try, and it's comedic. It's like that. It's like when SpongeBob tries to pick something up when he has those fake acorns.
Yeah, you got 15 strength, don't you?
Yeah,
literally minimum strength.
Almost. I could have made it lower.
I don't think I want to remove the typewriter.
Well, what are you going to do instead?
I'm going to continue to the trunk of my car.
He says, "Okay, not moving it off." Anyways, records. He's very insistent that somebody take a look at these.
Okay, I grab him and I say, "Okay, I will."
Are you done out there yet? I want to finish reading.
Very soon. When you say you grab him, what do you mean? You grab the book?
I'll grab the book and I say, "What time is it, by the way?"
It was 1 when we got there.
Probably 3. 2.
And what time is it now?
It's like 2:30.
3 or 2.
What do you mean it's 2:30? It's gone back in time?
No, it's like 2:30 now. What was your first question?
You said it was 3. Am I insane?
I'm saying it's 2:33. I don't know the exact. It's not on the clock.
Nuts. I'm not asking if it's nighttime or not, if it's dark.
No.
Okay. I need to get my reading glasses. These are my seeing glasses. I go to the trunk with the book.
He says, "Okay, enough fucking around." He pulls out a gun.
Have any of us opened up the trunks yet?
Let us put the initiatives down.
Oh, boy. Actually, what the hell is my initiative?
Us two?
Is going to be your dexterity.
No, we're just chilling in the basement.
You're chilling in the basement. 75.
Did I get the book, by the way?
Stella will hand Posey a cigarette.
Yeah, you took the book out
matches.
Of his hands, and he takes the gun out of his coat. In reaction.
Yeah, I'll smoke that. Thank you. Yeah.
How open? Like,
have we managed to
doing on the opening of the trunk here?
Have we? Yeah. How far have we gotten in opening Amanda's trunk?
We'll get to that. Now, everybody, tell me your dex, please. Lights.
75.
70.
75.
75.
High
Kirby
dex
said
party.
75. Kylie said 70.
Yeah.
We're the speedy boys.
Jeez. What, or no, sorry.
Speeding our way to the trunks of our cars to get our guns.
Charlie, what's yours? Because you probably will get a chance to do some stuff.
25.
25. Brutal.
Never mind. You're not going to get a chance to do anything.
Nope.
Yeah, Charlie
get shot.
Slow.
By the time something happens, I'll be like, "What? Is someone
you're
talking
here,
to me?
You're not here. You're not here." We're going to say that Kyle has just taken the book, so he's standing right in front of William. Where would you two like to be standing? You can be standing anywhere. You can be standing next to the trunk. You're both standing next to the trunk of each of your respective cars.
Yeah, that's going to be standing in Amanda's
trunk.
Yeah,
I think we're I think we're standing at the trunks of our respective cars.
All right. Fritter, we're going to start with you then. I assume open trunk, get gun?
Open trunk, pull out the 45.
All right. That's going to have to be your whole turn because you're opening the trunk and getting the gun, if that's fine.
Totally okay.
All right. Lights?
He just pulled out his gun. I think this is a good time to try to...
Open trunk, get gun?
No. I think we should calm him down. Let's try to talk him out of this. This would be a fast talk thing, right?
Sure.
Look. I can tell you're agitated. You're pulling out a gun. Put that gun away. We can talk about whatever it is you're doing in that basement. We can come up with something that will minimize your sentence. Like, come on, man.
Go ahead and make a roll.
Okay. No.
The light bulb.
I was
going
to tell you to roll with a penalty die because you mentioned the basement, which you really shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
But you rolled a 95, so I don't need to make you roll a penalty die. He does not give a fuck. Kyle, your turn.
Open the trunk, get my gun.
how do trunks work in... Like, is there a button at the front of the car where I'm at?
You probably actually do have to do a button at the front, but, you know, I'm being generous here, and I'm just saying you can open your trunk and
get your
gun.
They've
got to
have a key and a lock in this time, you know?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it takes your whole turn.
I don't know how it was in the 1920s, but, I mean,
Charlie
does.
I'm a fast boy.
Yeah,
what
old.
Kind of gun has he got?
I'm not that old.
kind of gun does he got?
You said 45, didn't you?
No, that's
that was
guy.
His Civil War guy.
Understandable mistake. He has a 22 short.
Little baby gum. Tiny Derringer.
Yeah.
He's got the same gun Lights has.
I mean, if
gun.
I sprint to the trunk, can I open it for Lights?
Shut the hell up.
If you sprint to the trunk and you open it for Lights, sure.
Alright, I'm going to do that with the book in front of my face. Wherever
in
he's aiming.
In front of your face?
Wherever he's aiming at.
You don't know how important this book is to him.
Oh, okay.
It's
a big book.
It's a big book.
I feel like if you were handed something and someone pointed a gun at you and you were sure they're going to shoot you, you're going to put that in front of you. I'm just...
That is true.
You
know, you're just... I think you're being a little too... I think you're a little too knowledgeable about how important this book is at this point in time.
Right.
I'm just curbing you here.
Just like alternate real fast between your head and your chest. Just like fucking like fling it up and down.
Alright, so Fritter. It is Annabelle's turn. You are about to get stabbed.
Oh no.
Annabelle has a fighting stat of 70, and she is going to roll 1d100. Now what happens here is you can pick one of two things. You can fight back or you can try to dodge. You know, I almost never, fuck. That's the alarm right there that I'm supposed to be posting the episode. Let me turn that off. I almost never re-record lines. That's actually, you know, that alarm going off is the funniest thing that could have happened right now. As long as I don't re-record this. So let's try to do the rest of this in one take. I almost never re-record lines. And that's because I want you to have the authentic experience. I want you to understand that it's okay to fuck up sometimes. I often leave in little mistakes that I make where I say, I should have done this like this because then it would be better. It'd be easier. Everyone would know what's happening. You know, sometimes my life is a train wreck. But that's okay. I forgot what I'm supposed to be fucking talking about. Okay, no. I can't take a bunch of time and forget what I'm doing because this has to be in one take or it's not funny. Call of Cthulhu. Combat. Yes, okay. So I was recording this in the first place because in this recording, there is a very loud ambulance that passes by as I'm explaining the melee combat, and it does it for, like, the entire thing, and I couldn't get a good way to edit it out. It doesn't sound right. It makes my voice sound really hollow, so I figured I'm just going to do this one again. It's not important. It's not like I have a very important reaction. I don't like faking reactions. Okay, so here we go. Melee combat. I think this is new to 7th edition. Maybe it was in 6th. I didn't play 6th, but either way, I like it much better than the 5 and 5. Whatever versions, where melee combat kind of felt a little bit more nebulous to me. If someone attacks you, you're given two options as a player or NPC, I guess. You can either fight back or you can try to dodge. If you fight back, I'm not sure if you use the skill that you were attacked with or if you always just use brawl. So, like, if you're attacked with swords, then I guess you might have to roll your sword skill, or maybe it's no, that wouldn't make sense if you're not holding one. So it's probably based on what you're holding. If you're attacked, then you can make a melee attack in response. And you compare your success or failure degree, not the actual roll you did. So if your opponent has 70 in their melee skill, for example, and you have 30, even if you were to roll higher than them, that doesn't necessarily help you out. If you roll a 96 or higher, that is a critical failure. I think there might actually be something based on your skill. I don't remember what it is. I don't care. Whatever. If you roll above your skill level, that's a failure. Below, that's a success. Of course, you already know this. Half below is a hard success. 1/5 below is an extreme success. So if you get an extreme success and they get a hard success, then you're the victor and, you know, vice versa. If it's a tie, the attacker wins. When you fight back, if you successfully fight back, not only do you not take damage, but you deal damage to your opponent. And in this way, something kind of always happens. There's no just like, oh, well, nothing happened this round of combat, you know. Alternatively, you can dodge. Dodging, you roll your dodge skill instead of an attack skill. And it works the same way in the sense that if you make a better degree of success, then you don't take any damage. The difference is, in a tie, the defender wins if they dodge. So if you're fighting back, the attacker wins a tie. If you're dodging, the defender wins a tie. And that, I think, is really cool. It gives you a real option. Even if both of your skills are good, even if one of your skills is higher than the other, there's still a pretty big difference there in terms of, like, when your opponent has a very high range that's just success, you don't want to die. I don't know. I guess that's basically it. Okay, I'm going to turn this off now so that I don't embarrass myself further. It's okay to make mistakes, kids. So that's how the melee combat generally works. So with that in mind, what would you like to do?
Okay, but I would also point out that I am engaged in melee combat with a 45.
Yes, and
I am not stabbing this person. I am shooting them point blank.
That's true, and you can do that on your turn. But right now, you can't do that because you just got it ready.
I'm going to dodge.
You would be
then.
Pistol whipping her, basically.
Yeah, I'm not fucking trying to pistol whip her. I am, after all, a short king. I'm dodging.
Okay. So with that in mind, what is your dodge?
47.
Right. And her attack is 70, as previously mentioned. So let's go ahead and roll.
All right.
She has gotten an 87, so she fails to stab. But if you also fail...
Oh, no! Ooh.
Wow. That is actually a critical fail, which is the only... Getting a 96 or higher is the only way that you could possibly get stabbed.
Holy shit.
Is this a roll that you can push or no?
You cannot push in combat, unfortunately, because pushing is for trying harder, and you are trying as hard as you can. And
my luck is running out so shortly.
You cannot spend perversity points, I'm sorry.
Someone's got some stored up.
Fucked up. I definitely have some left.
Question, can I call friend computer?
No. Okay, you have taken 1d4 plus 1 damage, and it is 3. So you have taken 3 damage. I assume that your hit points...
Is 10.
Okay, so you have not taken a major wound, so... For gameplay purposes, you're fine. But you are injured, obviously, so...
I've been stabbed. Please shoot this bitch.
Wow.
It's
right,
in the 1920s.
Next up is...
And also, if you think I'm not saying shoot this bitch after getting stabbed in the chest, then I don't even know what to say.
Sorry, I need to check one thing.
I can't believe I just managed to roll a fucking...
That 97 is a lot.
Like... I didn't even have to do well in order to beat that, but
you really didn't.
Backflip and landed on my own spine.
All right, it is William's turn. He is going to point at Kyle. He's pointing the gun at Kyle and he says, "Stop." Do you stop?
Where am I?
You have just popped the trunk open. I guess you're standing next to lights.
I mean, I guess I stop.
All right. Why would you do this?
Well, what else am I do right now? What could I be doing right now? What was stopping entail for me here?
Well, you've opened it. You're currently holding the book in front of you, you said. So stopping would presumably entail, understandably, he's gesturing up with the gun. He's saying, put your hands in the fucking air. Are you going to do that?
Has Kyle seen me get stabbed yet? Like, has Amanda seen Charlie?
Have I seen that stabbed
in the chest?
Or you probably heard someone get stabbed and say,
I imagine I'm probably screaming.
Is he just standing where he's at still?
Who?
William.
Yeah, he's got a fucking typewriter on his foot. He's trying to get it off.
I knew that typewriter would come in handy.
No, that's a 22. I'm just gonna, that couldn't kill me even if it did hit me. I'm just gonna get behind the trunk.
All right, you're gonna try to get behind the trunk. So
I guess I'll get my crossbow out.
Fuck's sakes!
Get your crossbow out. Yes, you are an archer, and you have somehow convinced me to let you have a crossbow, which is probably
take the bow out. Okay, I'll take the bow out.
No!
You have a crossbow. That's fine.
No, I'll take the bow out. It's too late.
All right, now let me just real quick make sure.
Why is this the only weaponry that you've brought?
Do you want to know, out of character? It's because I took bowmanship because she studies Native Americans, and I had a bow. But also, using a bow gives me the potential to do actually zero damage.
Kyle, you didn't have time to get behind the trunk. You can dive for cover, which means you will dive and get flat on the ground, which will make it harder to do things on your turn. But if you do, you'll give him a penalty die when he tries to shoot you. Do you want to do that? You have to dodge and make a successful roll to do it, by the way.
Let me dodge. I do it. I do it really well. In fact, hold on. I think that's a big success. Let me check. Yeah, it's a big success.
All right. I don't think that matters in this case, but all right. So he has a firearms handgun of 65. Penalty dice is you roll another d10 and you have to take the worst one for your tens slot. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to roll 3d10, 1 and 9. So unfortunately that's a 98 for him.
Is that a malfunction for his gun?
I am not
that
sure.
That actually might be, because I'm pretty sure the 22 actually has a malfunction chance below 100.
That might actually be a jam.
We're going to fuck this guy up.
When you use a gun in Call of Cthulhu, it has a mechanical failure chance, a jam chance. Basically, instead of just getting the critical miss roll and haha so funny, your gun can actually malfunction, which can require quite a few things to fix again, including a mechanical repair roll, a certain amount of rounds to unjam it. Generally speaking, things you don't want to have to do when you're in the middle of a firefight or a Cthulhu fight. That wasn't actually the case in this circumstance. Different guns have different jam rates. Some of them require exactly a 100, where others are more unreliable and can jam on a variety of rolls in the 90 range. But I think it's a mechanic worth bringing up, because it's a interesting one. It's not really something that you can do with a D20 system, because if your gun jams and requires a lot of maintenance 5% of the time, you're still going to want to kill yourself for playing this stupid system. If it's 1 out of 100, then it's a little bit less aggravating, especially in a system where you're not always going to be using guns. Sometimes melee weapons are just a bit more reliable, especially if you're a strong character who can deal consistent damage with them. Man, see how much more consistent and nice that is if I am editing it and doing more than one take? This was really bad. I forgot what the word jam was. I didn't remember the skill that was used. My throat clogged at one point. It was awful. No, it says malfunction 100 for the 22 short.
Oh, brutal.
So he fires one shot and misses. He's down a bullet. Okay, and that means we are back to... Actually, no, it's Annabelle's turn. So you hear a gunshot and some noise going on outside. What would you like to do? Annabelle?
Are you talking to Piety?
I'm sorry. Why did I think that you're Annabelle? Yes, I'm talking to Piety. Piety, you hear a gunshot outside.
That's the other crazy girl.
Yeah.
Gunshot outside. Mm-hmm. I run over to the window and look out.
So you look out and you see the situation unfolding.
And then you have a little more time on your turn still.
I look for a weapon inside. Oh, there's some sabers there.
Yeah, you don't even really have to make a roll for improvised weapons. You could jump up and grab a saber off the
tally-ho.
And I'm going to stand just inside the door, and I'm going to chop the first person that comes through, unless it's one of my friends.
That sounds fair to me. All right, now, Fritter, it's your turn again. You've just been stabbed. Do you want to unload on this lady? What are you planning here exactly?
Yeah, oh no, we are, you better believe, we are unloading this 45.
So you are firing at point blank, but you're also firing into melee because you have already been engaged in melee. Getting the bonus for point blank and not the melee penalty would be for if they haven't had a chance to start swinging their arms around where your arms are. So I think you'll just get a standard roll here. What is your firearms? What is your handguns?
My handguns is 60.
All right, go for it.
Well, the question is, okay, hold on. How does the multi-fire work?
Oh, yes. So if you want to, it says max like 3 bullets or something like that, I assume?
Yeah, it's 1 and then brackets 3.
So you can shoot up to 3 bullets. If you shoot more than one, all your shots will get a penalty. So that means you'd be rolling 3d10s for them, and then you have to take the worse for your 10s column.
Okay, so that's just the penalty on damage though, right? Not actually hitting?
No, that's a hitting penalty, and then the damage would be the same. So if all of them hit, it would be 3 times as much damage, but you're not likely to hit all of them.
Okay, you know, I'm just going to go for the one good shot.
All right.
I'm rolling. Okay, yeah, that's...
Okay, and then go ahead and roll for damage.
It's 1d10 plus 2.
Jeez.
9.
Wow, you roll a 9.
Fucking bam!
Are you aiming anywhere specific? Center of mass or head? Or probably center of mass, I sense?
Probably center of mass. Like, he's probably, you know, pushing this up into the rib cage.
All right. You blow a fucking hole through her torso. That is a major wound, and she has to make a roll to even be conscious. So she needs to roll a successful con. Her con is 60. 54. Okay. So she is still conscious, but she... does she fall over automatically? Oh, let me check here. I have
She's conscious, but she wishes she wasn't.
Just remove rib cage. Delete.
Where does it talk about wounds?
I feel like this is probably the fastest we've gone from talking to shooting.
Perhaps so.
In any Call of Cthulhu game.
They had people in their basement. If they didn't have those people, they'd put us in their basement. So I think we're justified here.
Well, I just got
also they pulled out the guts.
So I am feeling entirely justified with what has just occurred.
Okay, but from my character's perspective, that's what we know is that if you were in the basement, we would be going in the basement.
This entire scenario is going to end with us destroying the world because none of us read the book.
Really, that's the good outcome. Let's be honest.
Well, I would have if somebody let me finish.
Me too.
That's true.
Dude.
We can just set.
I also was like, "Give me the book. Let me read it." And they're like, "Nope." You're like, "Give me the book. Let me read it." They're like, "Nope."
I am perplexed why they would take the book away from Charlie when that's what they wanted so badly. Someone to do is to read the fucking book.
You know, sometimes you just want to grab your players and strangle them like a baby because they don't understand what's going on. But I can take them making fun of me now for my game not making sense because eventually it will. And then I can strangle them because I will no longer need them to be the guinea pigs running through this elaborate maze I've constructed in order to entertain you. I wonder if that one's like too generally rude towards my players. I don't know if I should keep that one in.
Well, they wanted to maximize their chances of getting everybody in spell. Their behavior lines up with needing people to read a few pages of the book.
I actually think that he used a spell on us, unrelated to whether or not we read it.
I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, it seems like they need to get their initial hooks in you.
I think you have to willingly read
the
book.
Yes.
You can get
spelled
into it.
It took me way too long to find that, but yes. She immediately falls over backwards with a big hole in her torso. And she does remain conscious, and she says... She doesn't seem as perturbed as she should be, but she is definitely, like, fucked.
Oh, she's going to be perturbed next turn, all right.
Quite possibly.
We are executing Grandma in the driveway.
Lights, it is your turn. The trunk is open. If you want, you can grab it.
This is the young girl. She was the painter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I want to grab and shoot with a penalty. That sounds like a great idea.
All right. And are you shooting William?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
No.
Jesus Christ.
I got my one good roll for the session, and that's it.
Unfortunately.
Really do be how it is.
So you fire and miss. And that is your turn. Kyle?
That's me, ostensibly. I will put the book down and shoot with the bow.
Are you just dropping the book or putting it in the trunk, or...?
I mean, I guess...
If you're hesitating, you're probably just going to drop it and grab it.
Yeah, just dropping it. I have no reason to hold on to this book.
Okay. When you're trying to get your player to decide how they did something in the past, knowing it will affect them in the future, I think this is a pretty good line to pull out. If you're hesitating, it probably didn't matter to you at the time. If you don't immediately say, yeah, of course my character would have, then they probably didn't. Of course, on the other hand, this does depend on the speech patterns of your players. Some people will doubt themselves kind of regardless, and maybe there's someone out there somewhere who only doubts themselves if they're right and never if they're wrong.
All right, anyways, I'm just going to shoot once with the bow. Here we go. Oh, I hit him.
15?
That is that's not quite a major success. Never mind, it's a big success, though.
Hard success? Okay.
Hard success.
So I think bows just... I don't think you can multi-shot with a bow or anything. I don't think there's anything like that. So
no,
go
it's,
ahead and roll
it's
your
like do a path turn. Of exile attack on him.
It's one attack. Anyways, it's here's my... Well, technically the bow says half your DV, so I don't know. What would minus one... Is there a half of minus one for Call of Cthulhu, or is it just stop
Jesus
at one?
Christ. I think just base damage is fine.
All right. I do 2 damage. He's got an arrow in him.
Alright,
shot him in the foot with an arrow.
You hit him in the chest. Again, absolutely no reaction whatsoever. He just says, that's not going to help you.
That's pretty intimidating.
Alright, but he has taken 2 damage.
I'm feeling pretty intimidated.
I'm feeling pretty intimidated.
Annabelle's turn. Let's see. So she, I'm going to say that she cannot get up off the ground at this point, but... she's going to take her knife and throw it at you, Fritter. And her throw skill is not as good. It is only 50. No, so she throws it and she misses.
Well, then, she has sealed her fate.
She makes a gesture with her hands. And she starts saying some mumbo-jumbo. You're not really sure what it means, unfortunately. But she's talking pretty clearly for someone who has a hole in her chest, to be fair. All right. William's turn. His gun stats, instead of thinking, oh, I can just go to the gun page, because I keep having to go to other pages, so I apologize. All right. At this point, I think... So you
well,
already,
he's got a typewriter on him.
Yeah. You did a dodge, and you landed. I guess I probably should have given you like a penalty to rolling your bow, because you had to get up from prone. But I forgot to do that. I'll allow it. He is going to fire at you again, Kyle. You're in cover behind the car at this point.
Presumably. Unless something changes.
He'll get a penalty for that. He's actually going to get 2 penalties then, because he's also going to be firing 4 shots at you. So we're going to do 4d10 3 times. And so the worst of his first 3 is the tens column as before. So that's a 77, 89, and that one is a 37. That last one is a hit, and the others are misses, I believe. Yeah, he's only got 65 in handgun. So now he's going to roll damage. It is a baby gun, but you are a baby.
I'm a baby.
With 9 max HP, which means if you take even 5 damage, that's a major wound. Wow! That's a 5.
Goodbye.
All right. You fall over backwards from a shot to your shoulder, and you need to make a constitution roll. It needs to succeed or you will be unconscious.
Oh, well, that's not going to happen either.
You never know.
Oh, that was almost a really wrong roll. Nope, that does not
exist. Kyle is,
you're completely unconscious. You're the most unconscious anyone's been in this game so far.
You're like 1 point away from the most unconscious you could possibly be.
All right, Kyle is Kyle is out of the turn order at this point.
I believe the most unconscious you could possibly be is called dead.
No, okay, that, well, then you're not unconscious anymore, then you're dead.
And Pity, it is now your turn.
All right, they haven't come in the door. There's a bunch of bullets flying around. I'm certainly not going out there.
That is understandable. It seems like it would be a bad idea at this point, based on any
assumptions. But I am going to try to figure out what's going on. Having read a few pages of the book, and...
You want to think about the...
Yeah,
dwell on the book?
Seeing what these people are doing and the way they're acting, can I sort of make some deductions?
Okay, so first of all, let's see. First of all, I'd like you to mark on your sheet. You should probably read that you've marked that you've read, like, you've done like 30% of a skim through of Key of Solomon. You did not get a chance to go all the way through that, but just for assuming that somehow everybody, like, or that you at least live and get a chance to continue reading that, which doesn't seem likely, but you did get a chance to start reading through that.
Okay.
So put that down. So you, how long did you actually have the other book?
I don't know. I was reading it for quite a bit while everyone else was making up their excuses about why they needed to go out the car.
Yeah. So I think he was encouraging you to just kind of flip through several pages. You probably have quite a few.
I was not flipping it. I was reading it.
Okay. You were reading it?
Yeah. Especially, like, if there's, like, a title page, you know, you got to pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah. So I would like you to make a language roll, and you use your best language for this. If you have any other languages that have 40 points or more, you get a bonus die for every other language that you know.
Okay, I've got English at 70 and Latin at 41.
Well, in that case, you get to roll with one bonus die. So roll 3d10, we'll say, and then...
All right, here we go.
The degree of success matters a lot here. That's going to determine how fast you got through it.
Okay, that's a 30.
Yes, because these are bonus dice. So that's a 30 flat.
So that is a hard success.
Okay, so let's see. So you actually, if you got a normal success, that would be just the title. And the title, or, you know, you assume it's a title. The thing on the second page of the book says... as previously mentioned, the ill-fitting cloth, which was discarded. And then you do actually get into what I'm going to just refer to as section one of the book. We're going to call it that. And you started to get an assessment of it. So I'm going to post the little script you get here. There's lots of text and there's lots of interesting things. I am going to need you to... make a sanity roll.
I am so good at this. I'm the most sane person.
Uh-oh. We're all gonna die.
We are. I mean, this is going really poorly so far, but I'm just gonna keep shooting.
That's a success on my sanity.
Okay, so you lose 1 point of sanity, and you gain 2 mythos points. And... hello, audience. It's been a while since I talked to you directly, or maybe it hasn't. I might have been putting notes in here. Cthulhu Mythos Points are a very interesting skill, which is your knowledge of strange and otherworldly things. The unfortunate part is that your maximum sanity is equal to 99 minus your Cthulhu Mythos score. So the more you learn, the less sane you can ever be again.
Don't worry, none of us have 20 power, so that doesn't matter.
So, this is the text which you glean as you. I would call this the summary of what you learned by reading the first section. You did not entirely get to read the first section because you did not have like the 2 hours that would be required. But you think that you would be able to learn something that's really important if you finished it, but you don't quite know what. But you did get this text. So the text here is just... because you can't be here to read it, my wonderful audience, is capital letters, and there's no punctuation except for dots between words and sentences here. Petey, would you like to read what you got here?
One, order. A million falling stones will land in order. Not knowing why is not the same as chaos. As such are these pages.
So that's what you get out of this. And you feel like if you had time to finish that section, there might be something really cool. Super cool, in fact.
I really want to finish reading that book.
You really do. But the book is outside and there's gunshots. So what will you do?
Well, going out there with a sword into a gunfight seems like a terrible idea, especially since I don't know how to use the sword.
Just swing it.
Well, yes, but also no. Instead, I'm going to take the Key of Solomon and hide under some furniture.
I think that is entirely reasonable. I'd actually like you to make a stealth roll right now.
Failure.
So, a gentleman in a large coat, whose name is Robert, comes up the stairs, grumbling and holding a .45, and he looks at you hiding under the table, and he just kind of nods and says, "Well, what's your deal?"
I'm trying not to be shot.
Alright. He just walks through the front door. Thank you for listening to this episode of Phantasms, Flee the Deadly Cthulhu.